Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving. I usually have all this stuff ready to go, and a good, see, I'm not very wet with it this morning, and a welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is good that you are with us as well, and we welcome you from wherever you are to worship at St. John's this morning. Announcements for this morning have been before you on the screens. A busy couple of weeks coming up here at St. John's. Annual reports are in the McClellan Room at the back of the sanctuary, and as you're having a cup of coffee this morning, you can stop and pick one up. The financials aren't there, but they will be emailed out to those who have emails in a day or two. We're just kind of finalizing those reports, so you should have those by midweek. Which is good, because next week is the annual meeting, so do plan to come for worship and to remain following for a light lunch and then the annual meeting. And then, at 2 o'clock, Psalm Festa, we are a service of worship, a service of word and music, looking at the Psalms, and particularly the Psalms of Lament. So we're looking forward to that. So please plan to come, and we hopefully have lined up all of our timing so that we'll just roll from worship to lunch to annual meeting back in here for the Psalm Fest. Hopefully it all works. And we will be looking for some volunteers, so if you'd like to help in the readings for the Psalm Fest, please speak with me or drop me an email this week. Session is going to meet this Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. here at the church. This was scheduled to be an electronic meeting, but because of some of the amount of stuff that we have to look at, we thought it best to be in situ here. So we will be meeting in the church this week. And then following Sunday, March 22nd, is our Camp Sunday, and there will be a luncheon following that service as well. Way back when, in like November, when we started planning these things, they were all nicely spaced out and they were perfect. And then life intervened along the way and things got moved and changed and canceled and rearranged. And so we've got two lunches back to back, not something that happens all the time. But do plan to be here for that luncheon as well. And we're looking forward to that. The newest edition of Presbyterian Connection arrived in the mail this week. This is the newspaper with all of the news from across the denomination, and they are on the door outside of my office downstairs on the ground floor hallway. So please stop and grab one on your way out today. The daily breads are also on that same table, for those who haven't gotten their most recent daily bread. And finally, it is with sadness that we note the passing of Phyllis Evans last evening. Funeral arrangements will be made throughout the coming week, so do keep an eye on the church website, and we will make sure that information flows out to you as quickly as possible. We ask you to keep the Evans family in your prayers during this week. And as we enter into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle, a visible sign to us that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk in his light. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Our God is in the heavens, transcendent in power.
Let Israel trust in the Lord.
God is our help and our shield.
Let the house of Aaron trust in the Lord.
We will bless the Lord from this time on and forevermore.
Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke through his servant Moses. Be present among us today, O Lord, that we may learn to walk in your ways and to keep your commandments. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we trust. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 313 in the Book of Praise. And there is a sticker in the book which we are going to completely ignore. And we will sing the five verses as they appear in the staves of music. So let us sing hymn 313. When we gather to praise God, we remember that we are people who have preferred our own wills to his. Accepting his power to become new persons through Christ Jesus our Lord, we confess our sins before God and one another as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screens. O Lord our God, you have searched us and known us. You know not only what we say, but also what we think. You know not only what we say, but also what we almost say. You know how quickly our thoughts rise to praise ourselves because we are well off or good looking or healthy or smart, boasting of your gifts as if they were our accomplishments. You know how slowly our thoughts sink to accuse ourselves even when we have turned our backs on you, fascinating ourselves with alien gods whose calling we heed while ignoring your own. Quickly boasting, slowly accusing, truly we need to repent. O God, forgive, correct, and heal us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord is faithful in all of his words and gracious in all of his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Friends, through Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. Give thanks to God. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, so we are called to be forgiving one of another. Let us greet one another now with a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Number 339, who made the earth and the heaven. Number 339 in the Book of Praise. Oh, you are here, Kian. Good morning. Come on up. I wasn't sure I had anybody for my story this morning. So, yeah, you were here last week. One of the problems with a series of children's stories is sometimes if it's different kids each week, I get confused as to who's heard what. But you heard last week. You were here. We talked about Lent, and Lent is a... Didn't know there was going to be a test on the children's story last week, did you? Journey. Chuck had it. He was saying it. Lent is a journey, right? And so we talked about what would it be like if Lent was actually a journey. And last week we had boots. Boots for the journey, because you want to have firm and stable footsteps. And we said... We compared those boots to wow. I'm gonna have to do testing more often. We compared the boots to the Bible. Thank you. There we go. So this morning, now if you were going to go on a hike, Kian, what else do you think you'd take? Oh, I think I heard it. You're right, David. If you're going on a hike, a real good hike anyway, you probably want, I don't like this one. It's wobbly. You probably want a staff, a hiking stick. Something that when you get tired, you can lean on it, if it's not too wobbly. That kind of keeps you going, swings your arms a little bit. If you reach someplace that's a little unsure, along with those good firm boots that we're wearing, you can kind of plant your pole and hang on to it so that you can make a firm step forward, right? So we have boots now, and we have a walking stick. And for us who are on our own journeys of faith through this season of Lent and at any time, prayer is kind of like that walking stick, isn't it? Prayer is our communication with God. It's how we can ask God for help to get over the obstacles of life, how we can make sure that we stay connected and stay firm in our relationship with God. So we've made it to a walking stick. We have our boots. I wonder what we'll have to bring next week, eh? I wonder if there'll be a test next week. Y'all are paying attention, right? So I'm going to put my walking stick back here, and we'll send you off to Sunday school. Oh, I didn't look at the Sunday school lesson this week. What are we learning in Sunday school this morning, Trish? We're learning about David because we're doing the Psalms, right? Hey, look at those Sunday school teachers pulling themselves in line with the minister when the minister goes off the trail. Thanks, guys. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Help us to hear and obey what you shall say to us today. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Reading verses 11 to 23. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him.
Just a minute, Phyllis.
Am I not on?
Start there. No. Yeah, start there.
Right. Okie dokie.
Rob gave you the whole chapter.
Okay.
To do, isn't it?
Okay. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why do you strike your fellow Hebrew?" He answered, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. So Moses fled from Pharaoh. He settled in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. The priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. But some shepherds came and drove them away. Moses got up and came to their defense and watered their flock. When they returned to their father, Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come back so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian helped us against the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why did you leave the man? Invite him to share a meal." Moses agreed to stay with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah in marriage. She bore a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been an alien residing in a foreign land." After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Their cry for help rose up to God from their slavery. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. And reading from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout the Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Once more, let us stand to sing the hymn, Not Unto Us, O Lord of Heaven. The words for this hymn will appear before you on the screens. And we continue this morning to read through the Hallel Psalms, which are comprised of Psalms 113 to 118. And this morning, we arrive at Psalm 115. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. Their gods are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak, eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not feel, feet, but they do not walk. They make no sound in their throats. Those who make them are like them. So are all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth has been given to human beings. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any that go down into the silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we have been making our way through the book of Psalms this year, and particularly this collection of Psalms that we've been looking at during the season of Lent, we've been noting all of the different types of Psalms that we find in the Psalter. A library of meditations on God's presence in the lives of his people, our ancestors of faith, and in our lives today. This morning's psalm seems to span several of those different types. There's a little bit of praise mixed in there. Well, there's a lot of praise mixed in there, actually. There's some lament kind of around the edges, and there's orientation. I think to unify all of this into one, we look at Psalm 115 as a new type of psalm, one we haven't quite looked at before. The psalms that were written, one of the psalms that was written for corporate worship. This is a psalm that would have appeared in a gathering of faithful people, just like we are gathered here this morning, for people united in praise. Today's psalm revolves around the verses at the very center of the psalm, verses 9 to 11. And perhaps they most of all reflect the reality that this is the liturgy of worship that we are looking at. Indeed, we've done just that this morning in our call to worship. We used those very verses from the middle of the psalm. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their trust, their help, and their shield. Like so many of those responsive bits that we use in worship here at St. John's each week, this section seems to be written in that call and response type of liturgy where the leader invokes the people to trust in the Lord and the people respond with those words, he is their help and their shield. It could fit in our worship today just as nicely as it might have in the temple thousands of years ago. And with that as the center and the focal point, those verses 9 to 11 in the middle of the psalm then expands outward in both directions. You don't have to follow along in your Bible, but if you want to, you might find it helpful. Just saying. I always mean to say that every Sunday these days, and I always forget. This morning I remembered. It expands outward from verses 9 to 11, moving upwards and downwards in matching stanzas in praise to this trustworthy God. In the fancy language of biblical scholarship, you can use this at lunch today with somebody who hasn't been here. They'll think you're so smart. This psalm, like numerous other passages throughout Scripture, indeed, follows a chiastic form. See, you can use that. Remember it. Chiastic form. There will be a test next week. There won't, but. And the chiastic form is given to us from the Greek alphabet and the Greek letter chi. Chi should be familiar to many of us. It looks like our letter X and kind of sounds like it too. So here is Psalm 115 then with these two arms, one going this way, with a point straight in the middle. And as we have just determined, verses 9 to 11 is that point of intersection between the top and the bottom of the chi or the X. The psalm then begins and ends with the great praise. At the widest part of the X at the top and the bottom are these great claims of faith that we believe in a God who is worthy of our praise that is offered to the assembly of the faithful. And then quickly it transitions into the reality of this world. That while there are many who do praise God, the psalmist acknowledges that there are many others who don't. And therefore we get that verse 2. Why should the nations say, where is their God? And then the psalm goes on to compare the God of the psalms to the gods of the other nations, the gods of the world. It's perhaps good to remind ourselves that in the ancient cultures in the midst of which the children of God chose to dwell, there were lots of other gods. There were family gods. There were regional gods. There were the gods of great mythologies, you know, like the ones that we learned in high school English, the Greek and the Roman gods. And there were even state gods. Indeed, in many of the ancient cultures of this region, many of the rulers of the nations were cast not just as prominent people, not just as people with authority, but as deities in their own right. And yet, their gods, all of those other gods, are different from the God of Israel. Note what the psalm says. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their gods, they're silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears that do not hear. They have noses that do not smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They make no sound in their throats. Those who make them are like them. So are all who trust in them. Quite simply, the question is, where is the power? Where is the agency in an idol that is made with human hands? Is it that God who creates the people, or is it the people who create the God? It's an interesting philosophical question for you to muse on this afternoon, right? That those gods made with human hands, how can they actually be gods when they are gods who have been made by humans? this portion of the psalm, then is balanced on the other side of the X, right? The middle point is 9 to 11. We have this part above. Below it, we have the response. It is balanced with this powerful statement about the God of Scripture. While it portrays these gods made by human hands as powerless, the psalm says, "The Lord has been mindful of you. He will bless you. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth." Theirs is a God. Ours is a God who is mindful of God's people, who blesses God's people and watches over them, who shows no favoritism over the great and the mighty as opposed to the lowly and the small, but who looks upon great and small alike with the same compassion and mercy and justice. And then the psalm ends where it begins. It ends with this understanding that God is worthy of our praise by all those who have breath to praise him. The understanding of ancient Israel at this time was that there was nothing like a resurrection. The dead simply inhabited the land of Sheol, the land of the dead, and were mute to praise God. But those who lived in the land, those who gathered before God in the temple to worship, their chief end was indeed to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. How are we to understand this psalm? We do not live surrounded by peoples of other gods. The clash of cultures that seems to be so present to the people of God as they were moving through the land, as they gathered in worship, these being, of course, the psalms that were sung as they made their way to Jerusalem on pilgrimage for the high holy days. They were all too aware of then of the people and the civilizations, the cultures that they passed along the way. But this class of cultures that was so real in the Bible doesn't seem to be as threatening a reality for us today. And yet, we all do have our gods that we chase after, don't we? Wealth, or youth, or the longing to be young again. Popularity and prestige, each in their own way, is a god, a vain god, a feckless god, a god with no hands to reach out and touch, no feet to walk, and no mouth to declare the goodness of the Lord. Each of us, I suspect, has some lesser god, some small g god, that vies for our attention and positively or negatively lays claim to our lives. And when we succumb to these pressures, we lose all sight of what is the most important: the God who watches over us, the God who can do whatever he wants, whatever he pleases. It's good that we remember when we read those words in the psalm. It's not that God does idle things. L-E, not O-L. Idle. It's not that God does idle things, but the God who does what he pleases is the God who created the heavens and the earth and saw that it was good and delighted in each and every day that the creation was happening. That's what it means when it says God does what he pleases. He delights and he joys in all that he does. The God who really does have the ability to affect our lives in real and purposeful way, who gives us connection and meaning in our lives because we have value, because we give pleasure, and we are enjoyed by the God who created us, and that the God who created us calls us good. What a marvelous thing it is, tucked away in the middle of this psalm, a confusing little psalm in many respects, bouncing back and forth between the faith of the people of God and the faith of other nations. But in the end, it comes very personally to each of us and all of us. And the affirmation that God goes with us in all that we do. And that God delights in us. And faced with that reality, there is only one response for the human heart. And that is to stand in the presence of the Lord, to sing his praises, and to give thanks to God for all the goodness that he has done. That is what we do today. That is why we gather. Let us give praise to the Lord. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the Living Faith document, a little less heady than some of the things we've been looking at the last few weeks, you'll remember. But this morning we look at chapter 10 of the Living Faith, Our Mission and Unbelief. Responsively, we will join our voices together as the words appear on the screen. For some today, God is an empty word, indicating no reality they have ever consciously known. They do not believe there is a God.
Many find it hard to believe in a loving God in a world where so many suffer. Threatens despair, the feeling that nothing really matters and that beyond this world is emptiness.
The Bible witnesses to God in Christ entering deeply into human suffering. As we behold our Savior on the cross, we are convinced of God's love for us.
God is with us in our anguish.
Faithful men and women of the Bible also knew pain and uncertainty, yet they experienced God and felt compelled to speak of God moving powerfully in life.
Christian faith is a response to the searching presence of God. Christian belief brings new meaning into one's life. For life's true purpose is to glorify and to enjoy God.
Thanks be to God. Let us give thanks to the Lord with all our being. In the company of the upright, let us honor God for the blessings and goodness that we have received as we present to him our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We are not our own, O God. We belong to you. You have created us and given us life anew, O God, Creator, Savior, and Sustainer. We extend our arms and open our hands to present our offerings to you. We make these gestures to display outwardly our heart's overflowing gratitude for all your gifts. Receive these gifts from us, O Triune God, and through them bring life and hope to many. In the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now continue in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of the universe, who are we that you should be mindful of us? And yet you watch over your people like a mother hen broods over her chicks. We praise you, O God, for your compassion and mercy. In a world of competing claims, you alone are trustworthy and true. We are thankful that you form us together as a community of faith and inspire us through your word to live lives that reflect your goodness. May we grow in faith each day that we may see our world through the same eyes of compassion that Jesus had. Give to us new ways to present the gospel to the world, that others may come to know you and see the purpose for which they have been made. In an often chaotic world, we pray for the leaders and that they might be guided by your wisdom and be led along your pathways of peace and justice. We pray for those who live in conflict areas and those who live in fear. As you guarded and guided your peoples in the past when in tumult and trial, so too be with your people today and be for them their helper and their shield. Today, as we mark International Women's Day, we thank you, O God, for women and girls around the world, for those who have stepped into roles which have been costly, who have pushed past the obstacles of injustice, who stand tall with pride and dignity in the face of oppression, whose resilience inspires and gives hope. For those whose lives inspire us all to become better human beings, Creator God, we give you our thanks and our praise. And today we pray for those who are troubled by concerns that weigh upon their hearts. Issues with the health, worries about economic pressures, loneliness, mental health, and all who mourn. Especially today, we pray for the Evans family as they mourn the death of Phyllis. In all things, O God, be our comfort and our guide. Everlasting Father, you have knit together as one body in Christ those who have been your people in all times and places. Keep us in communion with all your saints, following their example of faith and life, until that day when all your saints dwell together in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Until then, we intercede before your throne of grace, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. The words for this hymn will appear on the screen. To love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as we go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.